African football. The fourth African Nations Championship begins Saturday in Kigali, Rwanda. Remember, VOA football fans, this is for locally based players in Africa. So we won't see European-based stars like Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, the Gabonese striker who was recently crowned the 2015 African Footballer of the Year and who's been banging in goals in the Bundesliga for Borussia Dortmund. The 16-team tournament in Rwanda will span 3 weeks, with the final to be played February 7th in Kigali. Joining us now for a look at the first-round groupings is our African football guru, David Legg.
Group A, based in Kigali, the matches will be in the Amahoro Stadium, which is the national stadium with a capacity of just over 20,000. Now, the seeding is Rwanda 1, because they're the host nation, Gabon 2, Morocco 3, and Ivory Coast 4. And in the opening matches, Rwanda play Ivory Coast, and then Gabon play Morocco. I've got a real problem with the seedings here, Sonny. My favorites are actually Morocco and the Ivory Coast. Of course, home advantage will help Rwanda considerably, but the Moroccans and the Ivorians were particularly impressive in their qualifying programs, so it's going to be fascinating to see how these opening matches on Saturday unfold. For all our listeners in East Africa, Rwanda play Ivory Coast at 1300 GMT. That's 3 p.m. Rwandan time. And then 3 hours later at 1600 GMT or 6 o'clock Rwandan time, it's Gabon against Morocco. On to Sunday, Sonny, and the venue this time is Butare. Here the seedings in Group B are 1, DR Congo, 2, Angola, 3, Cameroon, and 4, Ethiopia. My favorites to go through this group are DR Congo and Cameroon. In the opening matches, it's DR Congo against Ethiopia at 3 p.m. local time, and then Angola against Cameroon 3 hours later. Group C, of course, will have huge interest for many listeners to the Sunny Side of Sport, because among the teams are Nigeria. Nigeria, arguably the favorites to win this competition. But they're not the top seeds. That position is filled by Tunisia. Nigeria are the second seeds, based on the fact that they finished third in 2014 in South Africa. The third seeds are Niger, and the fourth seeds are Guinea. And in the opening matches on Monday, it's Guinea against Tunisia, followed by Niger against Nigeria. Now, I'm sure most Nigerian football fans don't need any reminder, Sonny, that it was Niger a couple of tournaments ago who caused a sensation by eliminating Nigeria from the qualifying competition for the African Nations Championship, which is also known in short as the CHAN. So I think it's going to be a very wary Nigerian side that will take on Niger. But that said, the Nigerians must be favorites to win this match and also go through to the quarterfinals, I would expect, with Tunisia. The final group, Group D, is in Gisenyi, and the seedings here are Zimbabwe 1, Mali 2, Uganda 3, and Zambia 4. This is a particularly difficult group to call. I'm at a loss, Sonny, really. I think Uganda could be one of the two qualifiers, possibly with Zimbabwe. Anyway, the opening matches, we've got some really appetizing ones. First of all, it's Zambia against Zimbabwe. That's two neighbors battling it out. And that will be followed by Mali against Uganda. And I'm going to be watching very closely in that match, Sonny, a certain 18-year-old in the Ugandan midfield, and that will be Farouk Mia. He's another name that we've been punting strongly on the Voice of America. Very promising young player, recently scored 3 goals in a World Cup qualifier as Uganda eliminated Togo. And he's certainly, to me, one to watch in 2016. So in Group D, all eyes on Farouk Mia. So we have two matches, Sonny, on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So after that, perhaps the air will have cleared a little bit. But it strikes me as a very open competition. I think it's a very brave person at this stage who would boldly predict who's going to win. If you just rewind quickly to 2014 in South Africa, nobody gave Libya a chance. And amazingly, Libya won the competition by winning just one of their six matches. They drew the other five. But what they did in the quarterfinals, semifinals, and final is they proved to be experts when it came to penalty shootouts, converting kick after kick. So a fascinating competition, which goes on, Sonny, right through till February the 7th. That's when we'll have the final in Kigali. And at this stage, there's absolutely no chance that David Legg is going to stick his neck out and predict who will be in that match. I'm simply not taking that chance, Sonny. Very open indeed.
Finally, David, do you think we'll see a few European scouts checking out the African talent in Rwanda?
I would expect so, Sonny. I mean, these are the home-based players, and it's the dream, Sonny, of every African footballer to play in Europe. There are many reasons for that. It's the media coverage, and not insignificant factor is the fact that your salary shoots up. I mean, it is a fact that Yaya Toure, what he earns at Manchester City in 1 week is more than many Africans will earn in their lifetime. That is a fact. I'm not going to go into the figures, Sonny, because they change from day to day. But nevertheless, that is the power. That is the lure of football. You can earn a staggering amount of money when you go to Europe if you get to the top reaches. I've seen some figures for Yaya, Sonny, and I have to confess, I get just a little bit jealous when I, especially at the moment with the South African rand is 23 to the British pound, so one British pound equals 23 rand. And when you convert what Yaya's earning, boy, that's an awful lot of money. So yes, Sonny, I think there'll be a fair number of scouts. They'll all head for Nairobi and then they'll get a connecting flight over to Kigali. And as you mentioned on your show previously, it's going to be really interesting to see how this little landlocked country, Rwanda, stage this tournament. They've already held the CAF under 17 finals. They've done that well. They've done equally well, the CAF under 20 finals. The president, Paul Kagame, he is a very keen football fan, and he has said this will be a successful tournament. And on those very words alone, Sonny, I believe they will succeed. This is a man who takes personal involvement. You know, so often before a tournament, you hear this politician and that politician promising this, that, and the other. But to me, Kagame is a sleeves rolled up, hands-on man. I think he will have told his ministers and his football officials, I want a superb tournament, and I believe he's going to get it.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. Major League Soccer held its annual draft of college players Thursday in Baltimore, Maryland, about 64 kilometers north of our VOA headquarters here in Washington. With the first pick, the Chicago Fire selected Wake Forest midfielder Jack Harrison. The Fire then traded him to New York City FC for the number four choice, which Chicago used on Stanford defender Brandon Vincent. With the second pick, the Philadelphia Union chose Joshua Yarrow, a defender from Ghana, who played three seasons for Georgetown University here in Washington.
I mean, it has been a long road and it has been a tough one, but I'm grateful for everything that happened and all the things that happened to make me who I am today. You know, coming from Ghana to Santa Barbara to Georgetown and now here and to Philly, it's been a really great road and it's been a really fun one and a learning experience and something that has helped build me up as a person. And it hasn't been easy, but at last I can look back and say it was worth it.
Joshua Yarrow says it was also worth it to focus not just on soccer at Georgetown, but also on academics. Josh is close to getting his degree in international relations and anthropology.
One thing that I would say is, and a lot of kids that play soccer in Ghana do not really take the education seriously, and that for me it was a big thing. And so if I had one advice, it's, you know, you can be a pro soccer player and you can have your degree or be close to being done and never really throw away your education because you never know when that's going to come in handy. And just pursue both because it's possible, and I've been through it and seen that it's tough, but at the end you're going to look back and you're going to really enjoy it.
Joshua Yarrow will now have to adapt to a much more grueling schedule in Major League Soccer, so says the soccer writer for the Washington Post newspaper, Stephen Goff.
It's always difficult with first-year players who come out of college because college soccer is just such a short season. It's 3 months, you know, maybe 20, 25 games, and you're done. MLS is a nine-month haul. So it takes a toll on rookies, especially when you get into summer and into the second half of the season. But he's a terrific athlete, and I think that gives him an advantage. He knows the game so well. He reads the game so well. And so I would imagine he will probably be a starter in this league right away. Hard to say who else Philadelphia. I mean, they've signed some foreign players also, but he's definitely in the mix to play regularly, for sure.
That's Stephen Goff, the soccer writer for the Washington Post newspaper. And Stephen was talking to VOA at the annual Major League Soccer Draft in Baltimore, Maryland. In pro boxing, undefeated WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder of the USA makes his third title defense Saturday night when he fights Poland's Artur Spielka in Brooklyn, New York. How have your preparations been going, Deontay?
Well, the preparations for this fight has been crazy. It's been exciting, you know, due to the fact that Spielka wasn't my original fighter. So we was looking forward to a right-hander, and he's a southpaw, so we had to change up all our regimens from an orthodox fighter to a southpaw fighter, canceled a lot of flights, brought a lot of sparring partners in. I haven't sparred or competed against a southpaw in 3 years. So it brought back that challenge to my brain of why I love a southpaw and I love a pressure fighter too. That's the most two things I love in boxing, to face an opponent that's a southpaw and a pressure fighter. So it was great. I'm ready to perform come Saturday.
Come Saturday, Deontay Wilder will be looking for his third